You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on the Lutheran Hour. Its title, May I Introduce You? And now here is Dr. Meyer.
Oh, good. I'm not in it. That's what my mother said at the breakfast table when I was visiting her at her home near Chicago last August. And when she said that, I looked up from my breakfast and saw that she was reading the obituaries. We joke about reading the obituaries to see if we're alive or not, but the fact is, we really do read them. Most of the names are unknown to us. Their deaths don't affect us. Sometimes, more often than we like, we recognize the name. A friend from high school, a co-worker, a neighbor. Discovering the name of an acquaintance is sad, but not as sad, not as heartrending, not as tearful as reading the name of a loved family member. The death of a loved one is like a dream, or better that I say, a nightmare. You cry, you make arrangements, you have the funeral service, and through it all, there's a part of you that says, I'm going to wake up, and this will all be a terrible nightmare. But when you see the name of your loved one spelled out in black and white on the impersonal page of obituaries, then you know this is for real, no dream. No joke. And there's no wishful thinking at the heart of what I'm going to say next. Imagine turning to the obituary page one morning and reading this correction. We apologize for our failure to mention that people listed on the obituary pages of this newspaper are not all dead. Those who have died with faith in Jesus Christ live with Him in heaven. Our obituary page does not imply that life ever ends for those who follow Christ. We regret any false inferences you may have drawn. Is such a correction fanciful thinking? You'll probably never see a newspaper publish such a statement. After all, the news media can write much more easily about death, which is all around us, than they can write about the hope of life that we Christians hold in our hearts. Yes, it's fanciful to imagine a statement about eternal life on the obituary page of your local paper, but life after death is reality for all who follow Jesus Christ. No wishful thinking here. And that's why it's important that you and I be introduced again and again to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ corrects every obituary of a sincere Christian. His Spirit reminds the believing reader that the obituary of a Christian is really an announcement of life in heaven. I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus says. The person who lives and believes in me will live even if he dies. Yes, everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Therefore, believing Christians know that as 1 Peter 5:10 says, God has called you in Christ Jesus to His everlasting glory. He's called you to glory because His Son earned forgiveness for your sins. There wouldn't be obituary pages. There wouldn't be cemeteries and funeral homes and hospitals. There wouldn't be tears and broken hearts and the terrible emptiness that comes with grief if we were not sinners. Sin means that you and I are conceived and born with no reverence for God, no trust in God, nothing but a propensity to evil. This sin is a sickness that leads to death. Not just the physical end of life, and that's what the newspapers report, but the sickness of sin leads to an eternal death, a terrible and unending separation from the God of life. When Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross, He put Himself through that eternal punishment and separation from God in your place, in my place. Christ was our substitute in eternal death. He suffered the consequences that you and I have deserved by our sins. And in so doing, he earned forgiveness for your sins and for mine. Now, since the sin that causes death is forgiven by our substitute, death has lost its grip on everyone who follows Christ. The Christ crucified for you on Good Friday is also the Christ who rose to unending life on Easter morning. This is the Christ who proclaims, "I am the first and the last and the living one, and I died, and now you see I am alive forever, and I have the keys of death and of the grave." This is the one, Jesus Christ, who teaches you and me to read the obituary of a believing loved one and to say, "Oh, good, my loved one really isn't in death, but is in eternal life." This death notice is only telling half of the story, the half we earthbound people see. Sin gives death its sting, and the law gives sin its power. But thanks be to God, who continues to give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it's important that even sincere Christians be introduced again and again to the promise of life that we have in Christ, the resurrected one. Let me share a true story that shows how we need repeatedly to be introduced to the promise of life in Christ. The Reverend Helmut Kupsengraven is a pastor in Bielefeld, Germany, who occasionally helps with our German Lutheran Hour broadcast. Pastor Kupsengraven recalls a phone call early one morning. It was Mrs. Lembach. "My husband has just gone to the hospital. It looks very serious. Maybe a heart attack. We don't know right now." The phone call stunned the pastor. Lembach was a young, vital man. On Sunday, he had directed the church choir. But now he was unconscious in the hospital. And it turned out that the diagnosis was not a heart attack, but leukemia. A tearful Mrs. Lembach told the pastor, "By earthly means, there's no hope for my husband. He has, at best, half a year to live." And then she asked, "Please, don't say anything to my husband about his sickness. Right now, he doesn't need to be upset. He'll discover the truth soon enough." 2 days later, Pastor Kupsengraven returned to the hospital. Mr. Lembach had regained consciousness, and he suspected that the pastor knew more about his illness than he was telling. "Tell me the truth," Lembach said. At first the pastor hesitated, but then he laid out the news, the terminal, depressing news. "God have mercy," Mr. Lembach said. "Does my family know?" He was fighting back tears. "There is one who's with me. Pastor, let's pray to him." They did, and then the pastor left. It's pretty depressing to experience an obituary in the making. Pastor Kupsengraven returned to the hospital the next day and was immediately put on the defensive by Mr. Lembach. "You only told me half the truth, not the whole truth," Lembach began. "What do you mean?" asked the bewildered pastor. "Last night I was thinking about dying," answered Mr. Lembach. "And believe me, at first I was pretty well done. I would have loved to cry out, 'No, I don't want to die.' But then I thought about this. What comes after death?" And then it became clear. If death is the end, as we say, then it's only one end, only one half of the truth. The other end, the other half of the truth, is the resurrection and life, eternal life with God. Isn't that right, Pastor?" "Obviously, that's correct," answered the pastor. "And you spoke well and clearly when you described only the dark end of reality, the illness, the pain, and especially death. That scares us. We Christians, however, know the other side of the truth. Because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is risen from the dead, death has lost its terrifying power over us, and God will bring us through death into eternal life." Mr. Lembach died several months later, and there were some people, like the pastor, the family, the fellow church members, who knew that the obituary in the newspaper was only telling half the truth. they comforted themselves with the knowledge that the obituary stood corrected. Because he believed that Jesus had died for his sins, Mr. Lembach had been introduced and taken to eternal life. That's the introduction we all need again and again and again. You know how hard it is to remember someone's name? Only seconds after the first introduction, you forget, and you have to sheepishly ask, "Tell me your name again, please?" Because the death of a loved one is so devastating, because our own death can make us afraid, and because even the sincerest Christian has times of doubt and weakness, because, after all, we're only human, we do need to be reintroduced again and again to the promise of eternal life. And that is precisely what happens every Sunday when Christians gather in church for worship. Christians throughout the world worship each Sunday according to something called the liturgy. The word liturgy refers to the established ritual that the church has used for centuries. When you worship with a congregation that uses the liturgy, you are reintroduced every week to the promise of life. The first portion of the liturgical service is a time of preparation. In that preparation, the pastor and people confess their sins to God. This confession is more than an admission of our weakness, our problems, our failures. It is the heartfelt expression of our failure to revere and trust God and to do His good in our life. These sins having been confessed to God, the pastor, acting in the place and by the command of Christ, forgives the confessed sins. Such confession and absolution at the beginning of the divine service is the preparatory part of worship. And then comes the introduction that I'm convinced you and I need to hear again and again. It's called the introit, a fancy word that simply means entrance. The introit, or entrance song, is a series of verses that introduce the theme of the day. Often the pastor will walk toward the altar during the introit to symbolize that we have prepared ourselves by confession and absolution, and now we are introduced once again to the goodness and hope and life that we so much need and that God has for repentant sinners. Today, the introit spoken or chanted in many congregations is the introit for All Saints Sunday. It begins with these words: "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." That's today's introduction, an introit to life. Mr. Lembach needed that introduction to life to help him contend with his illness. The pastor needed it too. We all need it. Week after week, the liturgy of the church introduces us again and again to God's call to glory, and to all the other practical consequences that come to us from the forgiveness of sins. And so the church in its worship, and you and I in our daily life, can say, "Oh, good! I and my loved ones in Christ aren't in it. Jesus Christ corrects our obituaries. We have life. Amen."
We hope you've enjoyed this message brought to you by Lutheran Hour Ministries.